where I live.
Intruder alert, intruder alert.
Welcome aboard, Captain. Fighter pilots needed in Sector Wars. Play Astro Blaster.
R2 joint increase the power.
Hi friends! Thanks for joining us once again on the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast. This episode is coming out a bit later than usual, so I want to apologize about that. But I've been on vacation this last week and I'm afraid that the lure of sleeping in and playing Fallout 4 proved just too strong. At the time of this recording, it's been 3 days since a pretty big event occurred for the podcast. One that I might add, Gary Burton, good friend to myself, the arcade and podcast, happened to bring up, which is, we've passed our first year anniversary for the show. It truly is hard to believe it's been a year already. And I thank you all for sticking with the podcast, and also for embracing the Facebook page. It is a lot of fun sharing not just my personal memories of the arcades of my youth, but of working at the Arcadia Retrocade. It is even more enjoyable, though, reading all of your memories of the golden age of arcades and home consoles. So once again, thank you, listeners. Our topic for the show this go-around is Namco's 1983 often-overlooked platformer, Mappy. Mappy was developed by Namco, who, 3 years later, was still flying high on the sales of Pac-Man, which was released back in 1980. And they continued to release popular arcade titles like Rally X, and its sequel, New Rally X, in 1981. That same year saw them shipping out the likes of not just Miss Pac-Man, but Galaga and Bosconian. In 1982, the company released Pole Position, Pac-Man Plus, Super Pac-Man, and Dig Dug. So, they were pretty much firing on all cylinders. Then, on March 25th of 1983, they unveiled Mappy. While it took off like wildfire in Japan, it failed to connect with audiences in the United States for its North American distributors, Bally Midway. Which is really a shame, because it truly is a great title. One that, while definitely looking rather, well, cartoonish with its characters, actually takes quite a bit of skill. Players need to have a solid strategy to play very well. Shockingly, I've not been able to find out much of anything in regards to who programmed Mappy, or even who the main designer for the game was. Well, sort of. But I did uncover something rather interesting about the origin of the two main characters of the game. Mappy and his nemesis, Goro, the villainous boss cat in charge of the thieving kittens called Meowkies, began as, get ready for this, robots. I don't mean the characters in the game were meant to be robots. Mappy and Goro were literally robots, with Goro being constructed in 1980 and Mappy following in 1981. This was thanks to Shuogoki Toyama. These two robots were what were called Micromouses, robots that were tasked with navigating their way through a maze. The designs of these robots were pretty much dead on to how they would appear in the video game, with Goro being a large red cat and Mappy a cheerful police mouse. The name Mappy, by the way, is believed to be a play on words from Mappo, which is a Japanese slang for a police officer. Thanks to the Wikipedia, I learned it was also considered an insult. Toyama and the head of Namco, Masaya Nakamura, had designs on making home versions of these robots. Toys, the original robotic Goro, weighed 59 pounds and cost $365,000, with Mappy coming in at 9 pounds and costing a little over $18,000. Simpler versions of the two robots appeared at the 1982 Tokyo Toy Show, but didn't reach toy shops in Japan until near the end of the decade. I doubt that any game we will cover in the future of the podcast can boast that the genesis of its creation was thanks to robotics, right? I'm going out on a limb and saying that Toyama was probably responsible for the design of the Mappy arcade game too, which makes sense, as he had a hand in designing games and arcade cabinets for Namco. For example, he worked on Namco's 1983 arcade hit, Xevious. Now, before I finish up talking about Toyama, I feel I should add that I found an article from The Telegraph that was published back in 2009. The newspaper story focused on the unveiling of an agricultural exosuit that had been created by a robotics professor at the Tokyo University of Agriculture and Technology, who was named Shuogoki Toyama. Surely this must be the same man. And if I'm right, think about the legacy he's forging, not just from his work in video games, but in the field of robotics. Pretty incredible, to say the least. I will be sure to include a link to that article on the Retroist post for this episode. Okay, there is one other well-known name that worked on MAPPY, the composer for its incredibly peppy themes, and that was Nobuyuki Onogi. Onogi was mentioned, if I remember correctly, in the Warp and Warp episode of the podcast, but also provided music for 1981's Galaga and Bosconian, 1982's Pole Position, and even the 1984 ports of Pac-Man and Xevious to the Nintendo Entertainment System, to name just a few of the games he's worked on. The game tasks 1-2 players, taking alternate turns with filling the shoes of MAPPY, a member of the Micro Police, who is attempting to navigate his way through Boss Goro's mansion, collecting all of the items those rascally Meowkies have stolen. Or would that be purloined in this case? Oh, I'm sorry about that. To do this, the player has a two-way joystick, allowing movement to the right and left, as well as a button used for opening and closing the various doors throughout the mansion. MAPPY has no weapon, so you are always on the run from Goro and his loyal, purplish-pink-hued Meowkies. MAPPY can't allow any of those kittens or Goro to get their paws on him, or it's the loss of a life. MAPPY does have one defense, though, and that is some of the doors that our hero will come across will flash multiple colors. When these are opened, whichever direction the doorknob is facing will emit a multicolored microwave beam. This beam, or wave, will briefly travel across the screen, and if it comes in contact with a Meowki or Goro, will sweep them off the stage and earn the player big points. Although, those enemies will return shortly. For hitting a single cat with a microwave beam, you will net 200 points. 400 for two enemies, 800 for three, 1200 for four, 1600 for five, 2000 points for six cats, 3000 for seven, 4,000 for 8, 5,000 for 9, and then 6,000 for 10 cats caught in that wave. If you're lucky enough to hit Goro, he will double the score. So of course, if you hit 10 of the enemy with the microwave, and that includes Goro, you will be rewarded with a massive 12,000 points. When MAPPY has an enemy hot on his tail, he can wait until the last second to open a regular door, which will launch him back just a bit and knock over a Meowki for a second, and also get the player 50 points. Only MAPPY can open one of those flashing doors. Well, except for the Gozinso, which is a green coin with Goro's face on it. The Gozinso only appears once the game determines you are taking too long finishing the stage, pausing the action momentarily as a flashing hurry message scrolls across the screen, with the music speeding up as well as the enemies. The Meowkies can only open a door if the doorknob is on the side they are facing, and that will stun them for a second when they wrench it open. The player won't receive points though when this happens. Goro can open any door, but those flashing ones. He too can be stunned by the opening of a normal door. FYI, MAPPY doesn't have to be right on a door to open or close. So keep that in mind when developing your strategy while you play. The only way to clear a level or a round is to collect all of the loot for that stage. Goro's mansion is multiple stories, and the only way that MAPPY and his enemies can travel up and down the levels is by way of trampolines. Once MAPPY or one of his foes moves off a platform and lands on the trampoline, it will launch them into the air where they can land on another platform of their choice. The player has to be careful, though, because he can only land on the same trampoline three times before the fourth descent will cause the trampoline to rip and cost MAPPY one of his lives. Thankfully, the trampolines will change color when you bounce on them. They all start as green, then turn to blue, yellow, and then red, which is the sign to not land on that trampoline again, of course. When MAPPY lands on a platform, the trampoline he used reverts back to green. MAPPY is safe, by the way, when he's bouncing on the trampolines. But a player should use caution when picking a platform, however. Because if a Meowki happens to be traveling with you, it too might choose the same platform. And instead of landing safely, you will find yourself caught by the enemy. Sadly, this is something that happens to me quite a bit, especially in the later stages. The only time that Mappy isn't safe from the enemies while using a trampoline is when the Gosinso is in play. If it comes in contact with Mappy, it always takes a life. Each bounce on a trampoline will earn a player 10 points. A player never sees all of Goro's mansion on the screen at one time. So, in later levels, when the Meowkis really start to speed up, you can find yourself fleeing from a group of enemies in pursuit behind you. And as the screen pans, as you're moving across a platform, you discover to your horror another Meowki or Goro heading straight at you. Hopefully in that case, there's a trampoline between you and them. Otherwise, you can count on losing a life. Now beginning on stage 8 and sticking through 9 and 10, a new type of defense is made available to Mappy. And those are bells, which are located in the mansion's attic. If Mappy comes into contact with a bell, it plummets down and will knock out each enemy it comes in contact with, excluding the Gosinso. For each Meowki that is hit by a falling bell, the player will earn 300 points, and a whopping 1,000 points if it takes out Goro. So, if you are careful, you can let the cats get close to you, and then with a quick bounce on a trampoline to the bell, end up taking out a line of them and earning those bonus points. When you reach stage 12, Mappy has another way to defend himself. And that's with the trap doors located in the mansion. When he crosses them, they will disappear, leaving a gaping hole. If there are Meowkis following behind him, they will fall down a level and be stunned for a few seconds. Mappy can fall through these openings too, except he won't be stunned, he'll lose a life. Those trap doors only appear on stages 12, 13, and 14. I think I should add that while I love this game so much and played at the arcade as much as I can, I am not good enough to have ever reached a bell or trapdoor stage. Let's take a moment to talk about that loot that Mappy has to reclaim and its scoring values. The items are a portable cassette tape player worth 100 points, a TV worth 200 points, a PC that will get you 300 points, a painting that looks like the Mona Lisa will net you 400 points, and then the safe, which awards you 500 points. There are two sets of each of these stolen pieces of loot on every stage, and they are always located in the same spot for each level or round. The key to getting huge points is that a player is awarded a multiplier for picking up the loot in pairs. For example, if you've made sure to pick up the loot in ascending order of value, by the time you finish up the stage with that second safe, it will earn you 3,000 points alone. So, if done correctly, you will be getting 8,500 points for grabbing the items in the right order. That is easier said than done, though. In particular, when those Meowkis begin to move quicker than Mappy. If you lose a life, the multiplier is reset to zero. Oh, Goro likes to do something fun sometimes, and that is hide behind the loot. If you can snatch it up, though, before he jumps out to grab Mappy, you get an extra 1,000 bonus points, and the satisfaction of stunning the crime boss for a couple seconds. Mappy has 16 stages. That includes 4 bonus stages that I will talk about in just a minute. The first mansion has 2 rounds, also called levels, and then a bonus stage. The second mansion has 3 rounds, and then the bonus stage. And this is the same with the third and fourth rounds. After the 16th stage, the rounds will repeat, but with the addition that every level will have 7 Meowkis coming after you along with Goro. Those bonus stages, which can be found on rounds 3, 7, 11, and 15, find Mappy having to collect 16 red balloons, leaving a blue Goro balloon for the last before the stage ends. There are no timers for this level. You just have to quickly collect all the balloons before the jaunty theme by Onogi comes to a finish. For what it's worth, that's my favorite theme in the game. Mappy has to do this all, by the way, by bouncing on the scattered trampolines throughout the stage. sometimes traveling over or under a barrier to reach the next balloon. The same rules apply with these trampolines as on a normal stage. The fourth bounce will break it, although you won't lose a life in this case, just your chance for big points. Many times, Mappy will have to break a trampoline to reach a balloon underneath him. This is done by the player moving the joystick against a wall or obstacle until the trampoline breaks. Obviously, there's another trampoline below that balloon. For each balloon you nab, you will earn 200 points. The Goro balloon is worth 2,000 points, and if you nab them all, you will get an additional 5,000 points for a, quote, perfect performance. Friends, Mappy, like many of the classic arcade games, like Frogger and Donkey Kong, the rules of their gameplay are easily picked up, but mastering them takes a lot of talent. The world record holder for Mappy was set by Mike Reynolds on June 30th, 1985, with 573,450 points, verified by Twin Galaxies referee. That score stood until 2004, when Greg R. Bond obtained the high score with 1,277,410 points. That world record score was overturned on September 20th, 2015, by Mike Casper, who earned an incredible 2,313,890 points. At the Arcadia Retrocade, well, we believe the high score holder is either one of the head techs, John Munkus, or high score champion, Michael Dietrich. I say believe because Shay is currently getting things set up for a digital high scored board at the arcade. And after taking the dry eraser board down, I'm not saying this is my fault, but it's my fault. I dropped the board and the score was erased. The good news, though, is every single high score has been and always will be written down in a journal at the arcade. So, once Shay programs all of those scores in, it will be set right. Michael, John, sorry about that. I'll buy you guys an ice cream Twix bar to make up for it the next time you pop into the arcade.
And now, these messages.
This is Pole Position, the number one arcade hit from Atari and Namco. You're behind the wheel of a Grand Prix racer with all the horsepower you can handle. Maybe even a little too much. Pole Position, Atari's most realistic video game ever, now in the arcades. And for the Atari 5200 Super System, it's just around the corner. Pole Position from Atari.
The more game cartridges a video game system plays, the more fun it is. And the Atari 7800 plays more games than the competition, and they're about half the price. Super games like Ball Blazer, One-on-One Basketball, Summer Games, Winter Games, Karateka, Hat Trick, Impossible Mission. Arcade classics like Pole Position, Centipede, Xevious, Deluxe Asteroids, Ms. Pac-Man, Joust, Galaga, Choplifter, Robotron 2084. All 2600 games like Solaris, Midnight Magic, Football, Kung Fu Master, Move Patrol.
The Atari 7800. More games at about half the price.
A game as popular as Mappy was in Japan naturally received home ports on many systems. Yet again, only in Japan. These included the Sword M5, Fujitsu FM7, the MSX, the Epoch Super Cassette Vision, the Sharp MZ700 and 1500, as well as the 2500, and the Sharp X1, to name a few. Japan also received an arcade sequel with 1986's Hopping Mappy, and in 1989, for the Famicom home gaming console, they got Mappy Kids. That's not to say that Mappy didn't have a home game here in the States, as in 1986, for the Nintendo, we got Mappy Land. And in 1991, the Sega Game Gear got a port of the arcade game. And in 1996, the Game Boy collection entitled Namco Gallery Volume 1 included Mappy. It was in 1998, the game was featured in Microsoft's Revenge of the Arcade for PCs. And then in 2005, Mappy could be found on the Namco Museum 50th Anniversary Collection for Nintendo's GameCube, the original Xbox, PC, the PlayStation 2, and the arcade classic could also be found on the Namco Museum for the Nintendo DS. Mappy also holds the distinction of being one of the very first arcade titles made available on Nintendo's Virtual Console. And that's not all. In 2013, Shifty Look, which was a supplementary arm of Namco Bandai, tasked with updating some of the Namco library for other media like webcomics and web shorts, tackled properties like Dig Dug, Dragon Spirit, Galaga, Sky Kid, Xevious, and of course, Mappy. The game got 13 animated shorts called Mappy the Beat, and focused on Mappy's life after the arcade game. But the shorts included flashbacks, like when he brought his friend Dig Dug along on patrol.
Oh man, this is so exciting. I can't believe you finally took me on a ride-along.
Take it easy, Doug. Remember, you have to stay in the car, okay? I'm on duty. This isn't playtime for me.
Alright, I get it. I'm with you. 10-4. Good buddy.
So where do you guys carry your drills? Those in the, you got those in the trunk?
I'm a police officer, okay? You realize that? We don't have drills. We have firearms.
You got no drills? How do you drop boulders on criminals?
The only thing I drop on criminals is a dose of justice.
As you can hear, they take a rather humorous approach to the subject. The series was voiced by Scott Kurtz of PvP and Chris Straub of Brood Hollow. They actually co-produced the series as well. My first encounter with Mappy in my youth was at that fabled show Biz Pizza you always hear me yammering on about. I recall it didn't stay around for too long. I might literally have been the only person I know that played it. Like Joust, though, Mappy falls into my top 10 arcade games of all time. At the Arcadia Retrocade, we didn't get Mappy until just last year. John Monkus and Beau Counts did have to do some work on the machine before it was ready to be put on the floor. But now, it proudly shares space with Kangaroo on one side, and Flicky, then Pingo on the other. I think it's easy to see that Shay is going for an animal theme on that row. And I think that about wraps up our podcast for this go-around. But before I end it, I want to thank you one and all once again for an amazing first year for the podcast. A lot of work goes into this show, and the fact that so many of you share it, heck, promote it to new listeners, I'm more than humbled. From the bottom of my heart, friends, thank you. I also want to give a tip of the hat to the Ten Pins Arcade Podcast for being so kind as to mention this show again. I'll be sure to include a link to their excellent podcast on the Retroist post. Just a few days ago, they discussed the arcade game that marked our first episode, Williams Moon Patrol. As I mentioned earlier, the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast has a Facebook page. It's a great spot to share your own arcade memories and enjoy the celebration of classic arcades and home video games. Our ending theme, which is entitled River Raid, was composed by the extremely talented Tony Longworth. You can listen to even more of his music on SoundCloud and on his official site, which you can reach at www.tonylongworth.com. If you have any feedback for the show or perhaps a suggestion for a game to cover in the future, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. Diary of an Arcade Employee is, of course, available for download on iTunes. So I would really appreciate it if you could stop by there and give us a review. It certainly helps to get the word out to new listeners. For further information about the Arcadia Retrocade, please make sure to follow them over on their Facebook page. I'll be sure to provide a link on the Retroist post. Of course, I want to give a huge thanks to the Retroists. When you need your daily retro fix, why not visit the Retroist site at www.retroist.com? Please have a token on me as we listen to a clip for the game I will discuss on the next show. This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.